major economic stimulus program ends today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll say bond voyage to QE2, the Federal Reserve's big monetary stimulus program. We'll ask if it worked and what happens to the economy once it's gone. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow up 74 points, or about 0.6% at 12,335. The NASDAQ up 0.6% as well, and the S&P 500 up 0.5%. We got word this morning from the Department of Agriculture that record-high corn prices have led farmers to plant the second-largest corn crop since World War II. Also, the Labor Department said the number of people filing for first-time unemployment benefits dropped slightly last week to 428,000, which is still quite high. Now let's get to the Fed. Today is the last day of June, which means it's the last day of the Fed's $600 billion bond buying program known as Quantitative Easing 2, or QE2 for short. The program was meant to boost lending and spending by injecting a lot of cash into the economy. Diane Swonk is chief economist with Mesirow Financial. She's with us live from Chicago, as she is every Thursday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Diane, some people say that this QE2 program actually led to inflation. It drove oil prices higher and hurt the economy. Is there any truth to that?
Well, you know, you just pointed out the commodity prices tend to be self-correcting. The corn crop is one example of that. But there are so many factors pushing things like oil prices higher, most notably political unease and the Arab Spring in the Middle East. And it's hard to pin the Fed on that. And I think that's a very important issue, is to understand how complex these markets actually are.
Well, so do you think that if some of the big problems around the world get worse, or right in Washington with this debt ceiling debate, that the Fed would step in again later with a QE3?
I think the threshold for the Fed to do additional stimulus at this stage of the game is much higher than many on financial markets are giving them credit for. It would take nothing short of a double-dip recession. Now, if the debt ceiling has failed to be lifted and that triggers another panic, perhaps even worse than what we saw in the wake of Lehman, it would be Lehman on steroids, I think, as some people have pointed out. That is something we'd have to really worry about, and the Fed would certainly step in at that stage of the game.
Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Well, there are a lot of IPOs that are going on in tech world right now. Another one that's being reported on is Living Social, the big online coupon company. Some people say we're entering another tech bubble, but Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell says there are other bubbles that we should be paying attention to, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, give me the latest from bubble land. Chris, what are you watching for?
As the kids of boomers go off to college, I just want to paraphrase Shakespeare. They'll be reading Shakespeare. Maybe I'm going to abuse Shakespeare, but it's bubble, bubble, toil, and trouble.
Yeah.
Here's what's happening. You know, over the past quarter century, tuition and fees risen three times the rate of individual family income. And we've been making up that gap more and more, particularly when it comes to private independent colleges and public universities with debt. And I got to tell you, Jeremy, the lesson of the past several years is too much debt, too little income equals financial trouble. College education will still pay off in the future. The question is, how much debt do you use to finance it? And I think people need to retreat from that. That bubble is going to burst.
So maybe a bubble there with the boomers having driven up the cost of college, and now it might come down. What other bubbles are you watching, especially when it comes to the boomers or their kids?
Well, I think we've seen two other bubbles about, they may burst. Retirement for everyone. Social Security, Medicare, buy that RV, head down south. What is the lesson of two bear markets and two recessions in less than a decade? It's that you're going to work a lot longer. Hmm. Forget the RV, get yourself back to work. Here's the other bubble. This bubble is when the boomers retire, we've been adding stocks. We've been buying stocks. We've been told to have stocks in our 401k plans. When we retire, we sell it, and the stock market goes bust.
So you see these bubbles all busting soon?
The last one, I don't see, and here's why. 1 billion Chinese, they're going to buy our stocks. The Indians, they're going to buy our stocks. The emerging markets is going to bail out the baby boomer when it comes to their stock portfolios.
Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com. And by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at MassMutual.com. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
In China today, bullet trains begin running between Beijing and Shanghai. China now has the world's largest high-speed rail network, and as Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports from Shanghai, the U.S. network is far, far behind.
So let's say you live in Chicago and you want to take the Amtrak to New York. If the train's on time, it'll take you 18 hours. Beijing to Shanghai is around the same distance. On the new bullet train, that's a five-hour trip. Just like with everything else these days, China's faster.
China understands correctly that you need to make a big investment in sustainable transportation if you're going to be competitive in the 21st century.
Robert Cruickshank writes the California High-Speed Rail blog.
Here in the U.S., we're simply not willing to go ahead and make that investment, or at least our Congress isn't, without realizing that if you don't invest in the future, well, you're not going to have one.
The U.S. government has set aside $7 billion for high-speed rail. China's central government has invested $309 billion. It's taken China around 5 years to build that network. Cruickshank says funding problems and environmental regulations mean a 15 to 20-year wait in the U.S. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And finally, to the International Airport in Vancouver, which turns 80 years old next month. And to celebrate, the airport is holding a contest to pick a person who will spend 80 days in the airport and document the experience on Facebook and Twitter. They'll be able to find out things we've all wanted to know, like what happens to misplaced luggage. And there's a big perk involved. Unlike a stranded passenger, the contestant who wins won't have to sleep on an airport bench. They'll be put up at an airport hotel. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
At the Aspen Ideas Festival, experts air their savvy on global issues, but Aspen's a two-sided town.
One for people who are there for pleasure, for relaxation and rest and recreation, for, you know, the Aspen Music Festival, the Food and Wine Classic, those sorts of things. And there's another Aspen for people whose labor makes that all possible.
I'm Bob Moon. Dual Aspens, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.